Camping's going to be starting soon. That's May 2nd to August 13th. Hopefully we don't have snow on May 2nd, but we've got the sand volleyball court out here ready to go soon. And we would encourage you to sign up before April 17th if you plan on playing. Rachel Graby is our contact. And so Little Swatara's summer volleyball season about to kick off. We want to encourage anyone who's interested in being a part of this morning with the praise team. They do practice on Wednesdays after the Joy Choir. So anyone who'd like to join the praise team, feel free to come out on Wednesday evenings after the Joy Choir is usually around 8 o'clock, 8:15, somewhere in that area. So feel free to come on out and join the praise team. And looking ahead to Tuesday, April 26th, the Car, Truck, Tractor, and Motorcycle Show is going to meet at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. And anyone who'd like to help or have any further suggestions, please attend that meeting. And Paul Swigert can guide you as far as the questions you may have concerning that. On April 23rd, every man in this sanctuary say, April 23rd. 7 a.m. at Blue Star Restaurant. That's on Route 42. Yeah, that word there, S-T-O-U-C-H-S-B-U-R-G. You all know how to say it. I'm from Union County. So Route 422, Blue Star Restaurant, 7 a.m., Saturday, April 23rd. And there are going to be the T-shirts available for pickup as well. We are super excited to have our shirts to display as we move throughout our community. We also want to highlight we have room for one more youth. Everyone say, one more youth. And we definitely need one additional adult driver. Now, you need a current child abuse clearance on file with the church. If you don't have one of those, we can get that taken care of for you very quickly. But please let Mark or Karen Myers or Rich or Shelly Yenser know if you're a youth or an adult willing to go to South Carolina July 2nd through July 9th. All right, so mission trip with the Senior High Youth Work Camp. Cool. You've been doing an awesome job with the pictorial directory. Give yourselves a round of applause. I am so thankful. Denise is thankful with the pictorial directory. But if you haven't signed up yet, you attend on a Sunday, you're not a member, you're wondering if you should sign up, sign up. We want you to be part of our pictorial directory. If you come here once a month, we would love for you to be part of that photography setting on May 17th to 21st. But we do need you to sign up. So Denise Chris right here is the contact person. Her phone number is in there. And we just invite you to sign up for our pictorial directory. There is an opening for a part-time preschool teacher for 2016-2017 with the Little Swatara Preschool. If you're interested in that position, contact Cindy Bradley. Her phone number is also listed in your bulletin. And then we're also going to highlight that we're invited to the Cub Pack 489 annual fundraiser breakfast on the 23rd here at the church from 6 to 11 a.m. So men, go fill your stomachs at 7 and then come here at 10 and eat some more. All you can eat pancake breakfast with other items as well. So check your bulletin out, chocked full of all sorts of information. But now we also want to highlight next week, we want to go the extra mile. Everyone say that with me, go the extra mile. One great hour of sharing. There's an envelope you'll find in your bulletin as well. You can put your donation for one great hour of sharing in that, or you can use your church envelope as well and just make sure to denote it as it is for one great hour of sharing, and that'll take place next week. This morning we have a very special occasion, part of the service that we turn to receiving new members, and I'm just going to invite Jess Hartranft to come forward. The kids can come forward as well so you can see who her children are. So if you're not too embarrassed, I know not everyone likes to come in front of the church, but you're more than welcome to. We are so excited to have Jess Hartranft with us this morning. She's transferring her membership, and we have just a few items of business to do as I'll give you the microphone. So it says, friend in Christ, you have previously made confession of your faith and have been members of his church. We rejoice in your decision to become a member of this congregation in full covenant relationship with the believers who worship and serve God in this place. Do you now reaffirm your faith in and loyalty to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his gospel? If so, say, I do.
I do.
As you unite with this church, will you worship, serve, and share in its program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, regular attendance, loyal service, and faithful stewardship as God gives you strength? And if so, say, with God's help, I will.
With God's help, I will.
Do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And now the congregation, we're going to invite you to stand in support of Jess and her decision to become a part of Little Swatara, and we'll ask you to receive her as a member here at Little Swatara. We welcome you with joy and affection into this household of faith. We pledge to you our help, our prayers, our concern, that we may all increase in the knowledge and love of God. We trust God for strength to follow with you in Christ's way, keeping together in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. On the count of three, will you say, welcome, Jess and family. One, two, three. Welcome, Jess and family. Now, we're going to ask you after the service if you'd be willing to stand with me in the back, or we can put a stool back there for you as well. As people are leaving, they'd love to greet you. And we also have a huge book of the history of Little Swatara. There'll be a test in 14 days. No, just kidding. And so we appreciate you. There you go. Great job.
Just to welcome you.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right. Welcome. All right. Let's join in opening worship this morning. Congratulations. Welcome. You got it? All right. So, Father, we just want to thank you for Jess. We want to thank you for the opportunity to become a part of the congregation here at Little Swatara. We pray that we would indeed stay true to our vows to support her and to travel alongside this journey of faith with her as we, too, are members of this body and we, too, participate in the life of this church. We pray your blessings over Jess and her family. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. As a microphone is passed around this morning, we invite you to share any joys or concerns with our congregation this morning. We want to invite you to share in the loss of Jim Mills this past week. And Tuesday, 10 o'clock will be visitation, 11 o'clock will be the service, and then a luncheon to follow. So we keep Patty and Jim's family in prayer as we mourn that loss. Any others this morning that you'd like to share with the congregation?
emergency room. I'm sorry. Her and my daughter are in the emergency room, ruling out bronchitis and pneumonia. Kenley will turn 2 tomorrow.
And as we considered our married lives, we were encouraged as we joined together with a little over 350 people at the Pocono Skytop Lodge for a conference on marriages, and we know that we don't compete with our spouses, but we complete our spouses. So as we travel through our married lives, may we be willing to do what's necessary to lift those burdens from our wives or our husbands and complete them. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we need you this very hour. We confess that there are concerns upon our hearts, though not mentioned, that we're deeply moved by. And we pray, Father, in this moment that you would allow us to turn to you and to surrender them to you and allow you to work in our midst. Father, we know those that are in the emergency room at this very moment and they're awaiting diagnosis, and we're praying, Lord, your hand upon them, your touch of healing. We know those struggling with various illnesses, and we pray, Father, your healing touch upon them. But Father, in the midst of those struggles, may we draw near to you. May we cast our cares. May we cast our anxieties upon you. Father, our grief is great after the loss of our brother Jim. And we're praying, Father, for you to enter into our lives and to remind us of the finite life that we live, knowing that one day we too will behold our eternal destination. And we grieve with Patty and the family, Lord, and ask your special touch of comfort and peace upon them and many others that have lost loved ones during this season. We pray, Father, that we would be an encouragement, that we would be willing to uplift one another and help one another to go through these times. And we pray, Father, as we live this life, that we would be able to be vulnerable with each other, to open to one another and share those things in our lives that we would request prayer for. Father, we know that you are a God that is active, a God that is continually moving. And we pray that we would be able to stay on course, that when we stray, Father, we would ask, we would confess our sin and be on that straight path that you call us to. But Father, we know that you invite us to come as we are. But as we come as we are, we also know that we need to try again to be able to let go of that sin and to become holier and more righteous in your sight. So, Father, now we just turn to you and we ask that you would hear our prayers of confession and hear those prayers upon our hearts during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you for forgiveness that you gave us through the cross. And we're ever mindful of the pain and the suffering that you went through on our account. And we know, Father, that you died, but we know that as that third day came, the empty tomb was before us. And I pray, God, that that would never allow us to be the same, that it would change us, that it would transform us to live this life in light of eternity. But Father, we know the difficulties of living in this world. We know the persecution our brothers and sisters across the world are facing. And we too face on a daily basis. And we're praying, God, for your strength. We're praying, God, for your conviction that we would go, that we would share, and we would make a difference, make an impact in the lives of others. Father, we now turn the rest of this service over to you and ask your presence to be powerful in our midst. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs us. And we pray that we would come as we are, knowing that you won't ever let us be the same. Help us to trust. Help us to be obedient. Help us to surrender. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. As we come together through the offering, remember that the Lord is our shepherd. Whether we are on the mountains of life or deep in the valleys, God will be by our side. Remember as we give today that God will always be there for us to guide us through the lows and guide us to the highs. Let's pray. Father, we confess that there are times we take things for granted. It's not difficult to look very far and realize how truly blessed we are with significant abundance. Father, our desire is to keep you first in every single area of our lives and to offer you ourselves completely. We ask, Father, that you would stir our hearts, that you would stir our minds to conceive the greatness of this moment. May your will unfold in our act of worship as we provide our offering this morning. And to you be all the glory and all the honor and power forever and ever. Amen.
We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our Lord, use our hands. Lord, use.
A few years ago, there was a song written, and it became very popular. It's called Love in Any Language. How many of you have heard that song? Probably not many of you. Can any of you say I love you in a different language? No? Can I teach you three ways how to say I love you in a different language? Yes? In German, you would say Ich liebe dich. Can you try saying that?
Ich liebe dich.
In Spanish, you would say te amo. Can you say that?
Te amo.
In sign language, you would do this. It means I love you. Can you do that? I know it's pretty easy to say I love you in English, but it's a lot harder to say I love you in different languages, and it's really hard to show it through our actions. In the Bible story today, God teaches us how to show I love you in a different through our actions. After Jesus had reappeared from the dead, he appeared to disciples several times. On the third time he appeared to his disciples, he was with them on the shore of Galilee. He turned to Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Do you know what Peter said? Mm-hmm. What did he say? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus asked him again, do you love me? Do you know what he said?
Yes.
Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. A third time, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter was getting very annoyed. He said, Lord, you know all, and you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Why did Jesus ask Peter the same question over and over? Do any of you know?
He wasn't doing it.
He wasn't showing it? That's right. I think he wanted Peter to understand, and he wanted you and me to understand that it isn't easy to say, I love you. We must show it through our actions and by caring for one another and loving each other. Do you love Jesus? Yes? Then feed and take care of his sheep. Now that you understand what love is, let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us show our love for you by loving and caring for one another. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Please rise and join us as we continue to worship with thy word. Number 10 in your pamphlet.
Thank you.
Come on, boys. Come on, boys. The Sea of Galilee. This is where he taught us. John. John. Man, he can be the first one to the tomb, but he can't be the first one to the Sea of Galilee. John, my brother. Come, the water. It's nice and warm. Feel how warm the water is. John, quit running into me. You're always getting in my way, John. Oh, this is where we're supposed to see our Lord and Savior again. Can you hear the Sea of Galilee? Do you remember that sound? We used to fish on this sea week in and week out. Do you remember the fish we used to catch? You know, I think we should skip rocks. You want to have a rock skipping contest? Here we go. Five skips. Your turn. Only four. Try again. Six this time. Go, Johnny. Oh, Nathaniel still holds the record, doesn't he? Seven skips. Well, you know, I don't see Jesus. Isn't this where he told us he was going to appear? You know what I think? You see that boat over there? See that boat? You know what I'm thinking? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I'm thinking we take the boat and go out. What do you think? Yeah? All right, let's do this. Come on, here we go. All right, far enough. Far enough. We don't want to go into the deep water because we know in the deep water we don't catch a thing, do we? All right. Ready? Grab the net. One, two, three. Nothing. One more time. One, two, three. Nothing. Oh my gosh, I don't know about you, John, but it's getting late. I still don't see Jesus. Wait. You see that guy on the shore? What's he saying? Have you any cats? No, we don't have cats, do we? What's he saying? Have you any catch? What a jokester. Have we any catch? Dude, we've been out here all night. We haven't caught a thing. What? What's he trying to tell us? Cast your cat overboard. Sounds like an idea. We don't have any cats. Cast your net. Cast your net on the other side. Cast your net on the other side. Hey, we know where to fish, man. Well, on the other side, it's deep. We don't catch fish over there. Whoa. Whoa, that's Jesus. John, that's Jesus. He's alive. He's risen. Jesus is telling us to cast our net on the other side. Let's do it. One, two, three. Whoa! John, hold on to the net. Dude, do you feel that? Pull! 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 Wow. I've never seen a catch like that. I'm going to shore. I'm going to shore. I'm going to shore. I'm going to shore. Okay. Hey, look. He's got a fire. No, wait. He told us to bring the fish with us, but he's already got fish over the fire. No, wait. Where did he get the fish from? Jesus? Where's the... never mind. It's another one of those miracles. You know, Jesus provides the fish, even though we just caught like 153 of them or so. But some got out of the net, too. But, hey, let's enjoy some fish. Do you have any tartar sauce? How about a bun? Wow, that fish is good, charbroiled. Jesus knows how to make some fish. No, wait, he needs to talk to me. Stay here, John. I'll be right back. Yeah, hi, Jesus. Do I love you? Yes, Jesus, you know I love you. Feed your lambs. Yes, Jesus, I love you. I'll feed your lambs. Do I love you? Jesus, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Okay. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I'll feed your sheep. I'll feed your sheep. You know all things. Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. I will. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. I will feed your sheep. I will feed your sheep. I will feed your sheep.
sinner come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden. The table, come and grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are
Peter was a broken man. He knew what it was like to feel hurt. But he also understood what it meant to come as you are. To try and try again despite the past, despite the current situation. Peter knew he had to move forward. Friends, there's times in our lives we inevitably feel like giving up. We've had enough. We've tried one too many times, and it's never going to work out. But might I suggest this morning, might I suggest it's about motivation. It's about determination and persistence. It's about never giving up, no matter the circumstance. And more times than not, friends, it's about trying and trying again despite that possibility of failure. So there was a guy that he walked to work every day and he found a shortcut through the cemetery. Day after day, he'd make his way to work and things were going very, very well. Until one day, he was about to leave work and the weather became dreary. There was heavy rain, and there was dense fog that had settled in, so much so he could not see in front of him. He thought to himself, you know, I'm familiar with this path home. I'll travel it and I'll try it again. But in this case, what he didn't know could have hurt him. He was walking along that same path as usual. He had traveled this path 1,000 times when suddenly he fell into a newly dug grave. He hit rock bottom. He tried and he tried again to climb out and finally gave up. And he thought to himself, eventually someone's going to come by and they're going to hear me and rescue me. So the night passed by. He had fallen asleep. He had a black hoodie on and pulled his hood up over his head and covered himself and laid in the corner. And along stumbled a very, very drunken man. And that drunken man found himself in the grave with the man asleep. He was stumbling around in the grave and he bumped into this man and he looked at him. He saw the hood pulled up over his head, at which the man suddenly said, "Don't even try. It's not worth it. You're never going to get out." At which the drunken man scraped and scraped like never before. He climbed and he was motivated to find himself on solid ground. You see, friends, motivation will take us places. Peter knew he must try and try again. We too, friends, can know this. The Lord asked him, he asked us, "Do you love me?" At first glance, it seems like once would have been enough. But after 3 times asking the same question, I want us to notice the emotion that Peter displays in John 21:17. It reads, the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Then notice what it says. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And here's what Peter said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And again, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You see, the third time, they say, is always the charm. Peter was hurt. He knew that the Lord was omniscient. He knew that he knew all things. Jesus wants us. He wanted Peter to love him so supremely as to forsake all that he was familiar with. And once and for all, for Peter to become a fully devoted fisher of men. Remember in our monologue that Peter had gone back to fishing. He had gone back to what he had known. And how many times is that true in our lives when we try and try again, but we give up and we go back to what we know? Yet all along, he was that one disciple who claimed that he would be more devoted than any other. And we know the rest of that story. You see, this needs to be you and I. Total devotion is key. Loving means caring for one another. There's times we're going to be broken. There's times we're going to be hurt. And we're not going to feel of any use to the Lord. But he tells us to go the same way in which he told Peter to feed his sheep. Now, I want us to notice something in front of you this morning. If you look down towards the floor of the pew in front of you, you should see a screw holding that pew down. Can everyone say, "Thank God for pews and screws"? Now, imagine with me, there were no screws holding that pew down. The moment you leaned back, you could be in the lap of the person behind you. Denise, you would be holding Pam. Daniel, you would be holding Denise. And you can imagine the ripple effect the whole way back through the congregation. But there's something I want you to know about screws. They're intended, as you go righty-tighty, to keep a grip on that pew so that that doesn't happen, so it doesn't move, so it doesn't rock back and forth. But friends, I'm here to tell you something this morning. Sometimes we need to loosen the screws in our lives. Lefty, loosey. And as we loosen that grip on our lives, as we allow that screw to be loosened, Jesus has promised to meet us where we are. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid there may be some of us sitting here this morning and we're on lockdown. There is no way that screw is getting loosened. And we are going to hold on for dear life the grip that we have. But what we're missing out on, this encounter with Jesus, that transformation that is at our own loosening, we choose. And Jesus wants to transform us. He wants to change us. He wants us to never be the same. But it's awkward. It's foreign to us if we've never let loose of the control of our lives, because we're so devoted to trying and trying again on our own accord. But I want us to look at Peter's life. He saw Jesus for who he was. He saw firsthand the life that he led. He witnessed the miracles, his healing touch, his spoken words. He knew that he had died. But he also knew, and we also know, that he is risen. And in that moment, on that Sea of Galilee, three times he's asked, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." It's interesting to note, as we look at the life of Peter, how many times he denied Jesus. Three times. Yet in what I'm going to call a very sacred moment between Peter and the Lord, he is reinstated. He's called to full devotion, to sell out on any other dream he may have had and follow Jesus. Feeding his sheep, tending the flock, being their shepherd. Friends, it's easy. It's almost too easy to worry about all the extra baggage we carry. And it hinders us, it burdens us from coming to the Lord as we are. But might I tell us this morning, it's a very good thing to be mindful of it. But at the same time, might we recognize Jesus is calling us to approach him with that baggage, but with a loosened screw. Take a look again at that pew in front of you and imagine Lefty Lucy on that screw. That's your life. We need to let loose of the grip that we so tightly hold onto. And what happens if we aren't willing to loosen up a bit and allow the Lord to work? We're going to miss out on our world being shaken to the core in a good way. You know, it's even true of our worship sometimes. We may want to sing out. We may want to raise our hands in praise. We may want to even move around a bit. But I feel sometimes we're more concerned about the person sitting next to us. What are they going to think? What if I put my hand in the air and they start this gossip change? Oh, you should have seen Jane raising his hand in church today. What? Are you kidding me? We gather as a body. But there's a significant component of you and God. Would you say that with me this morning? You and God. It goes without saying, we are more responsible for our lives than anybody else. The truth is that Jesus longs for us to be constantly fed, to be constantly nourished. So as we consider Peter's life and the call of devotion on our lives, let's remember what our church sign said this week. We live our lives forward, but we understand them backward. This is Peter's life in a nutshell. It's our lives in a nutshell. You see, it's a matter of our hearts, not what we've said or anything we've done. We have to appreciate the fact that we are broken vessels on a journey, being loved and loving others. And friends, we can see that love daily in God's eyes through others. It's time. It is so time that we lay ourselves down and raise up the broken to life. Would you say these words with me this morning and truly, truly mean them? I am reinstated. I am reinstated. Would you say that with meaning this morning? I am reinstated. Do you believe that? Have you grabbed hold of the fact that you are reinstated? You stand forgiven before the Lord. No matter what we've done to deny Him in our lives, we are reinstated. And friends, what that means is that we have another chance. We can try and try again. What we're holding on to, we can finally, once and for all, let go of. Peter believed that. And we too, friends, can believe that because He has shown us to be alive. There's no body in the tomb. The tomb is empty. So here's what happens. I want you to imagine that your dream car is sitting outside. For me, it's a yellow Lamborghini Diablo. And it's sitting right outside. And I'm about to take you to that car and show it to you. But I'm never going to give you the keys. You can look at it. You can even sit in it. You can imagine you're behind the wheel cruising down 422. And you know what? For some of us, that's the kind of Christian life that we're living. We look at Jesus. We see the words on a page of the life that He lived. We see the reason that He died and rose again as we look around. But until we receive the key, we're not really living the life Christ intended. We're in neutral. We're not going forward. We're not going backward. We're just happy the way we are. But the power that is found in the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And we gather week in and week out hearing about the life that Jesus intends. But for some of us, the key just stays in our pockets. Maybe we've even lost the key. It's so bent out of shape, it's of no use. But friends, the key of faith and belief in what Christ has done for us requires for us to get into motion. Remember, Jesus told Peter and is telling us to feed the sheep, to become fishers of men, to go and make disciples of all nations. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to imagine that key in your hand right now. Go ahead, put your hand in the air. Imagine that you have that key. And what I want you to do is to go ahead and go through the motions of turning that key on to your favorite car. In this case, the favorite person in your life, which I pray and hope is Jesus Christ. And as you turn that key on, be reminded that the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to you the moment you first believed. And so as we press on that gas pedal and we live and move and breathe in a world that needs for us to try and try again. You see, friends, when we give our lives to Christ, we receive that key. The gear shift is at our fingertips, and in that moment, we have full access to God. Keep trying. Keep trying. You may look at your past and you may consider how disobedient you were to the Lord. You may look at your present situation and you may consider, how could I possibly come to the Lord as I am? But God is calling us to total surrender, to submit to His authority, to live in obedience to the life that He designed us to live with purpose. You know, there's a bumper sticker I can't stand. And it says, God is my co-pilot. Are you kidding me? God is my co-pilot. All right, get out of the driver's seat and put God in the driver's seat. He needs to be the pilot. Can I get an amen? Amen. So as we allow God in the driver's seat, we also know the Holy Spirit directs us, guides us, and helps us to live this life for Him. And I pray that it would be so in the most powerful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.
Please rise and join us as we close in worship on Created Me a Clean Heart. Today that the Lord is our strength. He is an ever-present help in our times of trouble. And may we recognize that as we come as we are to Him, He's never going to let us be the same. So may we go forth in Jesus' name proclaiming the good news, reminding ourselves that as we come to Him, He will cleanse us. He will create in us a new heart. Go in peace, surrendering to Him and living a life fully devoted to Him.